The DeFalco Files is an entertainment-based program. Some memories of certain events might be fuzzy. All opinions are that of the host. Content might not be appropriate for children and some adults. Listener discretion is advised. And remember, the truth is here. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents The DeFalco Files with FSW owner Joe DeFalco and your host, Matt Michaels.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with Joe DeFalco, the owner and the creator of FSW Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas. And today we are also joined by one of the bright young stars of Future Stars of Wrestling, Shogun Jones. Shogun, how you doing there, Stanley?
Doing pretty good. How y'all doing?
Good, man. Joe, how's this past week been for you guys?
This past week has been extremely irritating. stuff that business-wise we have to handle. It's been a pretty crazy week. We'll start from Friday. We had another network exclusive. Everything went well. Set up some good things. And then over the weekend, some issues with students who, deem it necessary to do whatever they feel like. So, we had to shut the door down on some stuff that was going on that we found out about and I was definitely not happy about. So
that's I didn't know about that, so I am hoping that
no big deal. So we had a little sit down yesterday with some of the younger students. We always tried to do like a year in review type of thing, and we did that with Shogun early on. But the younger guys, sometimes things fall through the cracks, and whether they know or they don't know, they use their dumbness as an excuse. So when you go out there and say, this is exactly what is expected, now there's no miscommunication, there's no confusion, and it's also been a year where, guys have come in or however it was when we reopened in June. And generally, the early part of the year, guys who've helped out more, guys who show up at training, guys who've earned themselves a spot, as students, we try to reward them by, making them pay less money, which is, one of the things that they probably like the most other than being on a show. So, we still got more to go. It's a busy week. And I think we put together this Saturday's exclusive event, probably one of the best cards that we have had since we've returned. I'm really excited about it. We're doing a number one contenders match for the FSW Heavyweight Championship. And I'll announce it here instead of on Facebook. But the four participants are going to be Cephalo 2, Hero Lou, Funny Bone, and Hammerstone.
Wow. Ooh.
So talk about four big boys in that. And there's also going to be a huge six-man tag that will involve Shogun that I'm pretty sure he's not even aware of at this point.
No, not.
Wow.
Sometimes people's actions catch up with them. And a few weeks back when Damian Drake was not at FSW, not that Matt Vandegrift wasn't deserving, but they are back in full force on Saturday, and they have a bone to pick with some people, including Gun, of course. So,
I like to see this.
Yeah. So before we get to that, because of the new regulation starting March 15th, where we could put 50% in, so we know we can reach 100, we are really moving forward, as that is like almost our Night of Champions. I'm trying to come up with a cool, super slick name that isn't Night of Champions. But on March 27th, if everything goes the way we want it to go, we're going to have all five champions defend. Graves would defend against the number one contender for the heavyweight championship. That'll be decided. Shogun and Kenny will defend against the Unguided. Ice Williams will defend against Funny Bone. And we will have the finals of the Nevada State Championship. And Maserati will defend the women's championship against whoever the number one contender is by next month. And there might be another match or two, but pretty much every match is going to be a championship match. So we're probably going to do that one as a pay-per-view on Fight TV. Sure. And, you know, see how we do, bringing the big guns in. And again, you know, there might be some surprises, as there always is, but we're really shooting for March 27th as a big show for us.
Excellent. Well, anyone listening and tuning in, please keep your eyes peeled for more information about that date. Definitely keep your eyes peeled for Fight TV on pay-per-view because it will be worth it. Shogun, just out of curiosity, it's Black History Month. We've kind of been celebrating it here this past week on our Vegas Bad Boys shows. Let me ask you, when you got interested in wrestling, was there anyone who was African American that you gravitated to as a, you know, an example or a role model, someone you looked up to?
Farouk, off top.
Yeah. What was it about him that drew you in? Because what's interesting to me is that most younger people would say The Rock. And so I love that it was Farouk. What was it about him, man?
Well, I do love The Rock just as much as everybody else does, but Farouk was just something more powerful, if that makes sense. The way he, sure, you know, he walked to the ring, just handled business, and the way he carried himself, that's the thing that drew me about Farouk. He was just this powerhouse dude, and it was just, I gravitated just towards like how strong he was. You know what I'm saying? It was just, everything about Farouk was just dominant. I love that about him.
Joe, let me ask you, you know, he just said some great words in terms of, you know, a dominant, confident person who walks the ring, and that caught Shogun's attention. How important is it for young guys like Shogun to embrace that concept so that when they walk to the ring, the fans have some kind of reaction to them?
Well, I'm glad he didn't say Ahmed Johnson was the guy, because then where his career would be right now, we would have no idea. You know, the lack of work ethic from that guy compared to others. But, you know, everybody has to find their niche. And, you know, and the main thing that we always see with the younger guys, you know, Shogun, 2018 Rookie of the Year, you know, he won the Against All Odds Rumble. He's current, you know, tag team champion. Hiro Lu, another young guy who has all the ability in the world, but it's finding the whole combination.
Right.
Who, you know, be the top guy, you know. And, you know, Shogun's getting there, but it takes some time. And I know for a lot of people that are involved in that situation, like a Shogun or a Hiro, you know, they always feel their time is now. They're ready. They want to go. It takes them a few years after the fact to where they're at then to realize, hey, you know what? There were certain things I needed to work on. I needed to get better. And, you know, it always can be said a lot about a lot of our guys that have gone to the top, whether it's Cross or Hammerstone. You know, Hammerstone was involved in a tag team for a long time, and just grew as a performer working with Graves, and eventually the time was right for him to explode and become the top guy. You know,
right
now, Shogun and Hero, they kind of started around the same time, but what people don't realize, Hero tore his ACL.
Right.
So Shogun, you know, got there to get ahead of Hero. And then because so many lack of matches in 2018, Hero became the, you know, 2019 Rookie of the Year.
Right.
So, you know, as friends as they are, I would think that there's probably a good competitive rivalry between the two that are because see a Shogun as the champion. I could see a Hiro Lu as the champion. And but right now, I don't see Hiro Lu as a heavyweight champion just yet because he's got to get over the hump. He's got to figure out some things. You know, right. His arsenal is top-notch. You know, it was funny. I was actually talking to EC3 because he actually wrestled the match with Hiro when they did some tapings.
Mm-hmm.
And funny because it was like, you know, EC3 says he introduced himself. And so, you know, what are you going to do? What do you want to do? And Hiro is very mild-mannered, low-key.
Mm-hmm. And
his response was, well, yeah, you know, I want to do this and this, and I'm gonna fire up. And EC3 is like, really? You're going to fire up? He goes, yeah, you know, I'm going to fire up, you know, try to get that crowd behind me, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, really? Because so mellow and mild-mannered. And it's the same thing with Shogun where, you know, 6'4", 6'5", extremely athletic. You know, here's a guy that immediately – when you go to beginner's class, you're going to take notice.
Yeah.
And he progressed pretty quickly to where he got put in situations. And what we like to do is, even though when a guy's not ready, we kind of stuck him with Bugatti and Maserati just so visually people would see him.
Right.
You know, that way when he was ready, it kind of reminds me of like the old vignette days of WWE, WWF. When they were trying to bring in a new character, it's hard to get somebody over if all of a sudden they pop up and they're on the TV. Okay, yeah, they win a squash match. But Shogun is this big menacing guy who also helped Bugatti win some matches. So when he was ready for a match, you know, people were ready, eager to see what he was capable of doing. And in a really short time, you know, it takes a lot for me to say, you know what, we're going to have you win the 30-man Rumble. On the show. You know, we had a storyline for it, and where it went from there, you know, it's hard to tell because of everything that happened. But initially, I was very, very happy with where we were going until March, and then, you know, the shit hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
So, Shogun, for you, when you start training and you get the, you know, the confidence in what you're doing, and they're looking at you as a big presence, and you get the opportunity now to start wrestling matches in front of crowds, what was it like for you to start to put together what you were learning to translate into delivering to show that you could do this, man?
It was pretty nerve-wracking at first. I'm going to admit that. But to me, it was just one of those things where I was throwing something in my face and it's either pay or play. I played on it. I was, you know, let's go. So everything I did learn, I just threw in there. But at the same time, I didn't want to come off as just that student that just knows the basics, you know? So I was trying to throw as much stuff as I knew in there from just what I learned and from what I've watched and see, you know, kind of experimented with it and try to see if it makes sense, if I liked it and, you know, how the crowd dug it and whatnot.
Was it important for you to have guys like Bugatti being around, you know, influences like that, Chris Bay, you know, guys who could push you and who, like in Bay's case, might not, you know, have had more overall, you know, years than you, but can drive you and motivate you. What is it about the guys at FSW that makes it next level for you in terms of what Joe was talking about with competition with these guys?
I would say I paid attention a lot to the way Nick Bugatti and Chris Bay, the way they organized their matches and their storylines and whatnot. A lot of the younger guys, I wouldn't say they necessarily did the same thing I did.
Sure.
Because, you know, everyone wants to worry about their match and how they want to do and how they want to perceive. It was more of like, okay, let me learn from these guys that have all this experience, see how they put stuff together and see what they do so I can gravitate to, how can I say this? So I can perform on the same level as they can at a faster rate.
Sure. Joe, when you first see Shogun and you start hearing things from the trainers, where does your mind start going with a guy his size, his look, and obviously showing that he has the ability in the ring to tell a story? Do you start seeing how you could lay out a path very early on in a student, you know, career for these young guys who come in? Or does it really just kind of hit you like, hey, Joe, this guy's ready? And then you just, that's when you start going, okay, what do I do with him now? Do you kind of understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's always going to be a game plan. And unfortunately, when you're 6'5", you're going to have a different game plan than a guy who's 5'7". You know, I always say a guy like Shogun, like Hiro, when they're first coming in to their first couple of matches, they're going to be green as green can be. Right. But because of their size, you also want to protect them because there's a good chance that they could be something special, because we already know that Shogun's very athletic. He's big. He can do things. He listens well, you know. So when we break him away to actually him having matches, the idea is we got to kind of feed him some younger guys. The problem with that is, well, he's also a younger guy. So there's always that chance, unfortunately, that, you know, it's going to be a train wreck in there because, you know, he's had a handful of matches. You know, we're not going to bring in a Hammerstone and Graves for him to have his first match and get his ass beat, or he's not going to squash them. So we're trying to make his presence felt. So he's going to beat up some of the younger guys. And it's probably going to be done, you know, short and sweet. And the one major hurdle, especially with the younger guys and guys like Hiro and Shogun, when they're putting together matches with guys that they've come up with, they're always too giving. You know, it's like, hey, I'm friendly with this guy. He's barely getting on any shows. You know, he wants to do this. These guys can't shut that guy down. You know, and I always try to persist, like, there's your time, and hopefully for them, there's going to be their time. And when it's your time, there's going to be a struggle, you know, and the getting over the hump. And that's part of the time, the experience, you know, the things in there. When I bring some guy in from out of town, I'm not worried, and neither is the guy, because he wants an opportunity that he just came 6 hours down and showed he's going to beat him in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I need. That's what that guy signed up for, because he wants to do good for that 2 minutes. That way, hopefully I book him again, and now he gets 5 minutes and 8 minutes. So you got to juggle it. So when we put him in with Bugatti, it kept him, you know, that was when he was training 3-4 days a week, really trying to get to being a mainstay on the roster. So guys that size, in my opinion, they need to be over ready. Like, again, could he have been in a match 3 months earlier? Absolutely. But we're hiding all his weaknesses, letting him be seen, and that way now he's over ready. People now look at him in his first match and be like, holy shit, this guy's first match. Wow, he's really good. Well, put him in 3 or 4 months earlier, they would have been like, wow, he's a big dude. He's pretty athletic. But wow, he's fucking green.
Yeah.
And, you know, we try to protect that in every step of the way. It's a lot easier for a guy at his level when he started 5 months in to give a Brandon G or a Nick Zander that we do now or Brett the Threat matches, because we could put them in a situation where Brett the Threat is cocky, he comes in and Funny Bone beats the shit out of him. But it told a good little story. But and Brett's wrestled now Dave Mazzani and Remy Marcel. But he's getting the experience of wrestling those guys because of the fact that he's going under.
Yeah.
And it's easier for a guy like that to bounce back than if a guy like Shogun is losing because Brandon G's been here for 3 years longer, for example. And it's like, okay, you know, it's the same story about Tyshawn Prince when he first came in from a different school. And it was like, well, you know, he's coming in FSW now. You got to make sure that you humble him. And I always said the same thing. It was like, I'm not going to bring him in to get beat up by Kid Vegas and then make him a monster.
Right.
So it's the first impression. So the first impression of Shogun is like, oh, shit, this is this big bad dude with Bugatti. And if I remember correctly, that was right around when Bugatti was the No Limits champion.
Mm-hmm.
So Shogun was very helpful in keeping the belt around Bugatti. So now when he stepped into the ring, we made sure, you know, he was winning matches. He was getting on people's radar. And then people were deciding, you know, whether they were going to like him or dislike him. But he was already going to be placed in a situation that a lot of guys, when they first start, they're down here, while Shogun immediately is basically a mid-card guy working his way up. He didn't have to work that low-card stuff. And again, those are the advantages. You know, even Chris Bay got his ass whooped by Funny Bone in like a minute.
Yeah.
You know? Chris Bay's first match. We knew he was ready for a match. He was a smaller guy. It's like, okay, let's try to get him some experience, you know, in the situation. While the bigger guys, you know, you need to protect it as much as possible.
Shogun, was it you who one day woke up and was like, you know what, I think my gimmick will be a Shogun warrior? Or was it the brilliance of Joe DeFalco coming up with the gimmick and going, hey, we're going to make you a Shogun warrior. What was the origins for you, man?
That was all me. That had,
yeah, I would have never came up with Shogun being a ninja warrior. So
yeah, it's not Shogun, the ultimate ninja warrior. It's none of that, but I came up with that idea.
Was it,
let me quickly add something. Shogun, when he first started, I would always tell this story about a trainee who was
actually
gifted. You know, he was a guy, you know, reminded people of Bobby Lashley. Like, this guy was a physical specimen. Mm-hmm. And his name was Royale Jones.
Yep.
And Shogun took that moniker to start. I guess he enjoyed my stories about Royale, who never got a match other than in a Halloween Battle Royal, where coincidentally enough, he portrayed Bobby Lashley. All right? And he never got in a regular match. But here was a guy who, if you told him to do something, he could do so many things, and he was a big guy, probably 6'3", 6'4". But it came together of putting matches together. He just was forgetful or whatever, and he couldn't quit, and then, you know, moved on. Shogun came out. He's like, I want to be Royale.
Yeah. I like the name. The name was smooth. It was Royale Jones. I'm like, it's like a nice little kick to it. It's fresh.
So the first few matches in FSW lore, Shogun was Royale Jones.
Yeah, for like two matches. And yeah, it's done now.
Then he said, I was watching the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and he said, I want to be a ninja warrior.
No, y'all ragging on me. That's not how it went. I'm not a ninja warrior. I'm just a brawler.
And he's no longer Jones, by the way, Matt.
He's just Shogun.
My color commentator, Jake, I got to remind him, it is just Shogun.
Hey, he's fine. You know, I get it. He can do whatever.
He's got enough heat with the bonus boys, mainly Clark yelling at him every show. So
see, you caught the R&B. They're not the bonus boys anymore. So
there you go. See,
it is.
They were that for 9 years. Now they've been that for 9 minutes. I'm supposed to remember every time.
I'm just saying.
What was the mindset in creating the character for yourself? Was it? I mean, is it essentially something reflective of how you saw yourself?
It was more of like, I was trying to find a character that kind of related to myself. And what I came across was, I used to do all this karate fights and tournaments and whatnot. So I'm like, okay, I feel like it should be something to where my experiences is in. Let's think of a name. I was listening to Wayne Clan. I was like, hey, what if I went by Shogun Jones? Kept the Jones, put Shogun. Oh, I like that. I like the way it flowed. And from there on, I just started just picking apart things. And here I am. And I just thought Jones was kind of like, it was whatever. So I just took that out.
Yeah. Joe, when you start thinking about using Shogun in the capacity of a tag team champion, obviously it's to help give him a little more experience working with someone like Kenny. But how hard was it that timing just timed almost disastrously perfect with the fact that the pandemic started? And then, of course, Kenny working with ROH and being in the bubble. Is that... I mean, how did that affect everything for Shogun growing?
Well, what you got to understand is the idea wasn't for Shogun to be a tag team wrestler, okay? It all goes back to the buildup, and then at Against All Odds, he wins the Rumble. So he's getting a match. And Chris Bay is on the other side. Shogun wins, taking out guys like Hammerstone and Graves and Sepha, I believe, in there. And he's earned the ultimate prize, the shot to go against all odds, beat 29 guys in a Rumble, and beat the heavyweight champion. And then he gets laid out by Hammerstone and Graves before the match. And at that point, Graves becomes the heavyweight champion. Well, now the idea is we have to get revenge. Shogun needs to get revenge on Hammerstone and Graves, who are now also the tag team champion.
Right.
So unless I want to put the belt on Graves for him to lose the belt a month later, we have to come up with an idea of how Shogun gets revenge on those guys.
Right.
And the other issue was, I don't believe he was ready at that point to be our heavyweight champion. And Graves was the perfect placeholder. You know, he's a badass. He does a great job. So at No Escape, Shogun, whether it's Hammerstone and Graves, at the time might have been Gallo, whatever, he's involved with that Project Body Count group. So, since we're not going to put the heavyweight on, best thing is to give him his first championship, and we're going to figure out a tag team partner for him. So in the time, it took a while. You know, there was three okay. Obviously, Kenny King was one of the options. Willie Mack, one of the options. And his bro Luke was another one of the options. But we had never really established anything with Hero yet, and he was really still a long way to go, and he was just on the rise. So we didn't feel like, oh, shit, it's Hero Luke. Here's a big pop for the crowd as the mystery partner.
Right.
Didn't think that would happen. Now, with Willie Mack, Willie honestly was my first choice because, you know, Willie comes in and out, and Willie's always, like, one of the most popular guys. And it's like, oh, shit, Willie Mack's here. Everybody loves Willie Mack. The problem was, with Willie, we have a great relationship with Impact, but I have to go through D'Lo and that crew to get Willie Mack.
Right.
And also, when it comes to pay, you have to go through Impact. And Impact doesn't look at, well, there's casino shows where you guys pay him this, and then there's school shows.
Right.
Well, you still have to pay him. It isn't like, hey, we're going to give you a discount because the school shows do one third of the casino shows.
Right.
You know, Kenny's been with us forever. Kenny and Shogun, you know, Kenny kind of like the mentor, the trainer. They also had a match at the anniversary show.
Right.
And it was history between them. So we felt that Kenny would be the guy. Kenny, everything was good. They won the titles in January. The next show that was a casino show was the last show, was the Mecca. And Kenny was available. He was there. They defended. They beat the Bonus Boys so bad they had to change their name to RMB after that.
Oh, man. Hope they watch this.
That's what Shogun told me. They beat him so bad.
Hey, Shogun ain't tell you nothing. Don't put that in my mouth.
You know. So now at that point, we are now closed from March 15th to June 1st, but we're now only opening for classes.
Yeah.
So, you know, we ran one random, you know, event in July. And then about September or October, we finally started getting stuff on a little bit more regular basis. So we did an angle with Shogun and Vandegrift because we already had Kenny a few weeks later, and he always had interest in working Damian Drake.
Right.
So the idea was we would put the Shogun stuff, because we would film it for TV, it would come within 2 weeks of the other match with Damian Drake and Kenny, which really happened 2-3 months apart.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks later, we had Kenny set, and then that's when the shit hit the fan again with the pandemic and things like that. And then when we came back, Kenny caught the COVID. And then Kenny had to go in a bubble. So it's like now we've kind of gotten back. But it's only been, you know, we ran one show in the day after New Year's. And then we didn't run again for 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
Now we've actually been consistent. So now we're hoping, you know, the bubble, you know, Ring of Honor, you know, his mocap commitments and things like that, that within the next month, we need to get it done. And, you know, if there's any way to do it with Kenny, it's like 99.9% them having the match with the Unguided.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's an empty arena match, whether it's, you know, a match during training or a match at the show or even a future shock, it doesn't matter to me. You know, everybody deserves to have that match. I hate nothing more than just say, well, Kenny hasn't been around. You know, it's a different time and place. We can't say, well, he hadn't defended the belt for a month, or he hadn't defended the belt for 3 months. You know, between Graves and Ice, you know, mainly Ice, you know, he's going around bragging the longest reigning No Limits champion. You know, he's defended the title less than how many months he's been the champion. So that just shows you how little. It's probably half. He's probably had the title for 13 months now, and he's won the title six times. You know, Kenny and Shogun have had the titles a year, and they defended it within a month, and they haven't defended it since.
Yeah.
But it isn't because we had 42 shows and the guy didn't make all of them.
Right.
You know, it's just been, you know, special circumstances. And I know it frustrates Shogun that, you know, he wants to be active. You know, he's a top guy who's in a tag thing going on. And a couple of years ago, we did a Halloween Battle Royal. And Shogun and Hiro came up to me and they wanted to be the APA. And I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, do whatever you guys want to do. And they came out and they looked good together and they kind of worked together. And immediately you could see these guys had some good chemistry together, you know. And at that point, it probably would have been smart to make them a tag team. But Shogun was on the rise and Hiro was still kind of down here.
Right.
So that kind of brings Shogun back down to not where he wanted to be, you know, that we wanted to move forward. So with all the situation going on, we couldn't really hold off anymore. So we did a thing with the Unguided. They came out, Shogun, you know, he stood up and we worked this story where his best friend Hiro Lu got involved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, within the first match, a lot of people were buzzing on Facebook like, wow, these guys are a really good tag team. Well, that's what makes the best tag teams, guys that are friends that work out together. That's how the 1% became so good. Yeah. When I put them together, they weren't friends. And then they became friends and workout buddies. And now they're like joined at the hip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
they made it work because they wanted to not be low mid-card guys in FSW. They wanted to be stars. They wanted to be the heavyweight champion. But at that point, that wasn't happening. So they became tag team champions, and then they became pretty popular and like the top tag team on the West Coast, right, you know, for that year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Now the dilemma is, sure, it's easy to say, you know, there, we're just going to put Hiro in. I try not to do that, you know, and I really do like Shogun and Hiro together, but you know, with all the tag teams we have, it's like, let's let this play out. And then let's see where that story goes right after that. Because it's still undecided. There's like, I told Shogun, you know, there's 10 different options we could go. You know, I might be leaning toward one or two, but it's still, you know, everything needs to fall into place. And I think wherever we go, you know, it'll still be, you know, good for Shogun and being in a good position either way.
Mm-hmm.
Shogun, yeah, what are your thoughts on how it's been for you having a year that's been, you know, such a toss away for you know, getting that experience you'd be getting? You know, you're probably out a good 50 to 100 matches for this past year. Is that difficult for you, and has it been hard maintaining, you know, not getting ring rust while you're waiting for these opportunities to open back up?
It's been mad frustrating. It's difficult because, like you said, I haven't had that many matches due to everything that happened last year. It kind of pisses me off, to be honest, but it is what it is. So the best thing I can do is just keep trying to show up to training. Sorry, Joe, I do show up to training. I didn't let you know, but that's what I've been doing, like, low key. I just been showing up and doing whatever just so I don't come off as, you know, oh, he's rusty, he ain't really been doing nothing. No, I'm still working. I just don't be letting people know. But Joe, I got you. I'm gonna let you know when I'm in there. But it's just been hard. It's different, and it isn't like I could just go out somewhere else and try to get another booking, because you know, that's not been that much available to myself right now. So I'm working on that as well. But, you know, I get it is what it is, but it's just those things where I got to not really make up for lost time. But, you know what I'm saying? I just got to go out there and start working even more, just working harder.
Have you found it essential that you have guys from FSW that you can turn to in terms of asking questions or helping, you know, if you get frustrated or if you're working out? How has that support group, and who are your closest compadres from FSW?
My closest compadres would be Chris Bay, Hero Lou, Sepa Fatu, Braxton, and I'm forgetting somebody. I'm probably going to just piss somebody off, but I'm forgetting Ice, of course. Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, that's pretty much the support group. You know, we're kind of almost all in the same bubble. We have these conversations all the time about this and that. So having them has helped out a lot with everything. Sure. Because, yeah, we're all just trying to find, hey, what's the next move or what can we do since stuff is really going on? They've helped out a lot in that aspect.
Joe, when you hear and see camaraderie like that, and like you said, between Hero and Shogun themselves, they have good chemistry because they're friends. But then if you add like an Ice Williams to that, Chris Bay when he, you know, is available, does that start making you think, you know, Sepha, that's a badass faction right there? Those are some good, you know, asking dudes.
Joe not ready for that.
Yeah, and then you got the Louis Spicoli of the group, or the just incredible Braxton. You know, he's the back character for them.
Just incredible of the group. Oh no.
But you know, see that's talking about people that are gonna make it and who's striving hard. It was like when we talked before. You know, Brett and Matt Vandegrift and Lacey were always training together and pushing themselves.
Yeah.
A lot of times, especially in this business, because it is competition-based, so there's a lot of egos, there's a lot of jealousy. But the guys who become the best are the ones who want to be the best. Hammerstone, we knew from day one, wanted to be the best. We knew Cross wanted to be the best. We know Chris Bay wanted to be the best. And by being the best, you align yourselves with other guys that are looking to be the best, because they're going to push you the most in the gym. Yeah. They're going to push you in the ring. And if you don't have confidence in yourself, if Shogun didn't have enough confidence in himself, he wouldn't run with that crew, because he'd be bitter and angry that those guys are in a position that he can't reach,
yeah,
whether he work hard or whatever. But all those guys feel that they're deserving to be the man in FSW.
Yeah.
Except for Brian, of course. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else, you know. But in all honesty, like Hero Lou is a possible heavyweight champion. Seth is a possible heavyweight champion. Shogun's a possible heavyweight champion. Not saying, you know, Ice Williams, he's like the most charismatic dude there is. Right. You know, just like Chris Bay was a little undersized, or a lot undersized, but still became the heavyweight champion. There's no saying that an Ice Williams couldn't be the FSW heavyweight champion. So you got four guys who are running in the same pack that they could be number one.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think there's any jealousy. I think everybody is wanting the success. And Chris Bay, so that's five guys that, you know, whether they've had a belt or not, or moving forward, you know, Seth is back into the mix. He's going to be here on Saturday, you know, as we said, you know, and to be honest, he's the most disappointing, because there's so much talent there that I want to use him as often as possible, yeah. You know, because having that guy on the show mixed in with these guys, like, as I always say, our talent pool is amazing. And it's what makes it amazing is that so many of the younger guys from Vegas, Shogun, Hero, Ice, you know, Bay, you know, and the up and coming guys, you know, and guys have been around for a long time, like Remy and Cody and Hyperstreak, you know. Then we mix in the Hammerstone and we mix in Graves and we mix in, you know, bringing Brandon Gadsden back, who two shows in a row he had, possibly the two times he was here. And even with Chris Bay before that, he's been here three times in the last year and he's had three outstanding matches. Eli Everfly will be back on Saturday. Him and Hyperstreak killed it a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm. You
know? And it's just like amazing that we have all this talent that, even though Sepha's not around, it's like we're still not missing a beat. You know, a lot of other companies, if Sepha's not there and Kenny's not there, well, there's two or three guys on the show that might be worth this shit. You know, on a bad day, we have 15 guys that are like the top end, you know, not the top half, but like the top third, you know, of the indie world, you know, that are on our show. And, you know, I remember watching Shogun coming up, you know, he got to work Graves early on in his career, you know, and then I remember they were working a Beers and Body Slams and Graves, and Hammerstone was coming down the escalator to talk to Shogun to put him over and basically, you know, watched every second of the match and try to help him out and give him a little bit of advice and maybe some pointers and doing things. And that's the kind of locker room stuff that we have, you know, that's running there, that that guys are giving a shit about somebody who down the line might beat you for a match or for a championship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shogun, how does that register with you in terms of your confidence in what you're doing? Does that kind of echo a lot of you know, almost praise that, you know, guys like Hammerstone will take that time because they see something in you to try to encourage you to, you know, keep going?
Yeah, it's a pretty awesome thing, to be honest. I love the fact that people like Hammerstone or Graves actually give a damn about, you know, helping the younger guys come up and giving them pointers or telling them, hey, this is, you know, this was awesome, but you could have done this and whatnot. It helps out a lot, you know, because I've been to like other little locker rooms and it is not like that at all. You know, you have a match and that's it. You know, you just had a match, but the fact that people give fuck, it makes it better. It makes me want to strive even more because it just goes to show that this business isn't just cutthroat as people make it out to be. There's still some people that want to see you strive and become the best.
Right. You know, speaking of having that base, what was it like for you, you know, this past summer when Black Lives Matter broke out? Was it something that was important that everyone had each other's backs and you guys were able to go and demonstrate and, you know, kind of be a part of it? What was it like for you, you know, having this wave of social justice just kind of flow through this weird pandemic setting?
It was different. That's the best way I could put it. It was certainly different. Like it kind of changed my mindset a little bit, how to perceive myself in the wrestling world, because, you know, the whole Black Lives Matter thing, it affected me a lot because everything that was going on. And it just made me kind of like, when I wrestle, I want to go out there and I want to prove something. It's not, I just want to be one of the best wrestlers, but one of the best Black wrestlers you can ever see. And
sure.
At the point I am right now, you get to see that before I hit the big stage. You know, you get to see me come up, and now you can sit there and say, like, hey, Shogun, that was my guy right there. Not only because he was a bomb-ass wrestler, it was because he was like us. You know what I mean? He was one of us.
How important is that to you, that younger Black kids get a chance? Now, you know, when I was growing up, the main exposure Junkyard Dog was, you know, really your mainstream exposure. And now you have so many talented African-American wrestlers. how much does it mean to you knowing that potentially in, let's say, 5 to 10 years, kids who are 10 years old now are going to be hitting, you know, that 20-year-old, 18-year-old, you know, time where they might want to start training? Has it ever crossed your mind how much being an influence to the younger Black community is and will be for you in the future?
Oh yeah, it crosses my mind all the time. When I, as soon as I get to the arena, I'm always thinking about it. Like, who am I going to inspire tonight? That's just the thing that goes in my head. Who am I going to inspire tonight? And hopefully, the kid I inspire, you know, hopefully he actually goes out there and like lives his dream or whatever goal he is, whatever goal he has. But
or that's she always,
was that perceived, yeah,
or she.
But when I go out there, that's a point I am trying to prove. I'm trying to prove that, you know, for us, we have it. Yeah. You know, we shouldn't have to doubt ourselves as, oh, we're Black. We're not going to, you know, we're never going to be this and that. You know, when I seen Kofi Kingston win the WWE championship, I was like, oh, this is real. We should do this. And that alone inspired me a lot to where I next up in that category where break barriers and let people know, like, hey, we can do this.
Yeah. Shogun, if Joe had the deepest pockets in the world, who would be one person that you'd like to see him bring in to wrestle you?
If he had the deepest pockets, I'd say bring in Bobby Lashley. I'm trying to learn some.
Almost had him.
I want to hear almost had him. I want.
I got a. You know, when they finish, I got a great Bobby Lashley story.
Yeah, I just bring him in. Let's go.
So what happened with Lashley?
Yeah, I want to hear this.
So, I get a phone call, and it's like a Colorado number, and I'm Future Stars of Wrestling. How can I help you? And this guy's on the other line talking about wanting to come down. You know, he's wrestled a long time, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, you know, we're not really going to bring anybody in. I said, but if you happen to come out, you know, send me some stuff, you know, and I'll take a look at it. And I'm like, you know, we have training. Kenny King's our trainer, this guy. He's like, oh, yeah, I worked with Kenny King. I'm like, really? Where? And he's like, oh, yeah, I worked with Kenny at Impact. I'm like, really? What's your name? He goes, Bobby Lashley. And I'm like, why didn't you lead with that, motherfucker? Like, it's like, and we were talking, and at that point, I'm like, dude, love to have you come out, blah, blah, blah. I got the guy with the card signing, and then he ended up, I think, started doing some MMA fights again, and then he went into WWE. But it was like, it was crazy. Like, this guy didn't even, like, come out and do, like, hey, I'm Bobby Lashley, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'd love to come and work for your company, you know. Instead, he was this guy who was a random guy who called up. And, I get 1,000 calls, you know, of people. Oh, I'm going to be moving to Vegas in a year and a half. And it's like, okay, well, how about you call me when you get here? Like, right. You know, what do you want me to tell you? You don't live here. So, yeah, so that was my only Bobby Lashley.
Damn it.
You offered Bobby Lashley training classes.
I did. I thought that's what he was talking about.
That's awesome.
But then when he was like, who said he was? I'm like, dude, love to have you on the show. Blah, 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 blah. We talked a little, and then it never went anywhere. Like I said, he was training to fight Bellator or whatever he was doing.
I'm gonna come see him, though. I'm gonna come see him.
Well, you know, as we start kind of wrapping here, Shogun, when you're looking at, you know, the potential, because right now everything is pointing your way. You've been fairly healthy injury-wise. You have a great support base, and you're getting very good opportunities. What is it that you think the next piece of the puzzle is? What are you looking at as your next step or next goal?
My next goal is to straight up just start traveling.
Yeah.
You know, I can be at FSW as many times as I want, but to me, I feel like the more I start venturing out more and start seeing the different type of wrestlers out there and the different things that's going on, I think that will for sure boost me to the next level.
And Joe, where do you see Shogun progressing in his career in FSW? You know, I know we've kind of said that there's a possibility of being a heavyweight champion. Would there even be a possibility of seeing someone like Ice and Shogun for a No Limits championship, or is that something where is that something where his size kind of outplays the that championship?
No, size doesn't mean anything to me. Willie Mack's a guy that I would that has No Limits matches. Funny Bone is a monster now, but he's still a guy who's gonna. It's more of a style than anything else.
Sure.
And Shogun's style is, you know, more Nevada State and the heavyweight. You know, a lot of times some of the smaller guys are pigeonholed as No Limits guys.
Right.
That may not be, but in the case of size, that doesn't affect me in any way. It's like, just like, you know, when people were talking about the Black Lives Matter, I never looked at that. You know, we have five champions, four are black. Not because I wanted to represent and show what I think about it. It's the best guys in the right spots. You know, Kenny was my first champion, happened to be a black guy. The next champion was a white guy. You know, with me, I didn't look at Shogun and be like, oh my God, look at this guy, 6'5". This black guy we can push because he's a black guy. It's like, no, we're pushing the guy because he looks good. He can work. He's personable. And he has all the attributes that are needed to be at that level. And, you know, obviously I look at it in a different way. I look at it as a promoter. You know, there was always the running joke that, you know, I made that FSW has more black guys than the Wakanda Wrestling Federation.
Which is true.
You know, and so there are times when people have brought things up and I'm like, I've been the biggest supporter of anybody. When somebody came out and they have three black dudes at their show out of 30, that's great that they came out and said they support it. I'm the one who goes out regardless of color, size, weight. If I think they're good enough, they have an opportunity to be on an FSW show.
Absolutely. Well, Shogun, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate your time. We're looking forward to seeing you further your career and hopefully back in the bigger venues very soon. Joe, any final words to remind the people about maybe the FSW network, anything else they need to know before we head out?
Yeah, $6.99 a month for the FSW network. And right now we're on a run of four straight network exclusives. You can't see it anywhere. You know, you can see some clips on Twitter. You can see some clips on, you know, on YouTube or on the Facebook. But for $7, you can now watch four live events or network exclusive events that nobody knows the results of. You know, that we're in there. It's just a future shock where you're only going to see, you know, Shogun's favorite tag team, the Suavecitos, on it. You know what
I mean? Oh, yeah.
You know, you're going to see Shogun, Hammerstone, and Graves, and Ice Williams, and commentary from Chris Bay, and Remy Marcel, and Death Proof, and Funny Bone, you know, and surprises like Jimmy Wang Yang. In one of the most bizarre segments in FSW history. Get the network to see it, you know? And on, like I said, this week's show, you know, we have a fatal four-way for the number one contendership for the heavyweight championship that is a barn burner. You know, Hero, Sephra, Hammerstone, and Funny Bone? Like, wow, you know, that match alone is worth the $7 for the month. You know, it's worth a year subscription. Sign up for the year, you get a discount. And then, as I said, you know, there's a huge six-man tag that we're finalizing that will include Shogun that we are very much looking forward to.
Excellent. Well, everybody, thank you for tuning in once again. Please support the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting as well as FSW. And until next time, we will see you later.